What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the podcast. Welcome in to another episode of the Triple Play Fantasy Baseball Show, a proud member of Underdog and the Underdog Fantasy family. And now as we're heading into March, which means we are heading into baseball season, which means spring training games start tomorrow. So if you want to start getting in some best ball drafts, some fantasy baseball best ball drafts, use promo code triple over at Underdog Fantasy and you'll get a deposit match up to $100. So if you deposit 100, you get 100. You deposit 50, you get 50. All over at Underdog Fantasy if you use code triple. So they will double that first deposit for you. A great deal over there. And you can draft with us because we will be doing some underdog drafts as we get ready to kick off the 2024 fantasy baseball season. So if you want to get a taste of fantasy baseball, come draft with us. We're back at you guys tonight, Outfield Part 2. We got a great show as we're kind of in the middle of our off-season content here with the position previews. We got Doc, we got Lil Cheesecake, we got Marty Party all in the house. Doc, how's it going?
You know, David, you got me really hyped with Underdog. I looked and we talked before the show. I was one of the only ones that won a league. You know, it was free money. You know, especially what's happening with job uncertainty, they're offering you free money. Like, I just need to emphasize that.
Yeah, free money. Our guy Vinny, you said how many leagues did he win last year? Like three or four leagues?
Yeah, Vinny definitely won more than the majority.
I mean, it's pretty much if you win, you'll win like over $100. So it's not a right, isn't it? Like $10 a person or something like that. So you'll win.
I mean,
100.
We did $5, but
five.
Vinny probably wishes we did 10.
Yeah. It's great though, because with best ball drafts, for those that are not familiar, you draft your team and then you don't have to make any changes to your lineup. It just literally plays the best possible players you could play. And at the end of the season, you can see if you win money or not. So it's, if you don't want to set lineups, it's the best way to go. Lil Cheesecake does like setting lineups and he likes talking fantasy baseball. He's here with us tonight. How's it going?
It's going really well. Just finished the DARF draft. The Earth League that I'm the commissioner in, we just finished that Tuesday this week. Started it on Saturday, so it's the start of like the main draft season for me. TGFBI is starting. Potapalooza's this weekend. We got home leagues coming up. We were talking home league earlier. I'm getting hyped, and we got outfielders tonight, so I'm real hyped.
Marty, Art touched on it, man. We've got TGFBI coming up.
Yep.
Just in, I believe draft is in a week, roughly.
It'll be Monday the 26th.
Monday the 26th.
1 p.m. Eastern.
That's right. So we're just under a week. We've got Potapalooza. I know me and you and Lil Cheesecake are all going to be doing a panel on Potapalooza there. Are you pumped for Potapalooza, TGFBI, and all things fantasy baseball right now?
All of it, man. I'm in the Plotso Podcast Invitational League as well. We're currently in the 16th round. I'm waiting. I got 8 picks. I've had this up all day. TGFBI starts Monday. Potapalooza Sunday, going at 4 p.m. Eastern with our buddy Frank Stample, friend of the show. So yeah, it's going to be this is the time, man. Fantasy baseball.
You agree on Potapalooza got left out.
First of all, Eric, number one, how bad did you want to say two L's and two Z's? Because I saw you trying to say it, and it just didn't come out.
Did you reach out and say you wanted to be on Potapalooza?
Yeah, you literally have to reach out to him.
You just had to reach out.
I figured I would be included with the group, but I
no. So you he no. Literally once you're initially on it, then he'll send an email to you every year saying you were on it last year. Do you want to do it again? But you have to reach out initially to say, hey, I'm interested to do
it. All right, I take the onus on that, too.
You should. That's your fault. Lazy doesn't win you anything these days, Doc. So it's going to be a great weekend of fantasy baseball and a lot of great stuff going forward now as spring training games are getting ready to kick off. I believe tomorrow is the first spring training game. So we'll actually have some baseball data we can look at in spring training to maybe make some more educated takes going into the 2024 season. But as we alluded to, we've got our outfield preview tonight, part two. So we covered the top 50 outfielders going on NFBC ADP over the last 2 weeks. So tonight we're going to cover pretty much another range of 50 more players. So we're talking about outfielders going 51 to 100. We're going to break them up into different ranges. We'll probably talk about a few that are going post 100 outfielders that we're probably trying to snag as much as we can in drafts here. So I'm going to go here first to Marty Party as I pull up the NFBC ADP. Going first in the 51 to 65 range of outfielders here, at this point in the draft, it's not really fades because you're getting guys at roughly post 200 ADPs. So it's just guys that you're just trying to target now going forward. Who's the first guy you'd like to bring up?
At the risk of sounding like a homer, it's definitely Kerry Carpenter. And when I do these, reviewing for these shows, I always look back at my drafts that I've done over the last few months, and I have them in a bunch of places. I just drafted them in the Palazzo Invitational here just a moment ago in the 15th round. He's going to play as much as possible. I'm not worried about the platoon. At the end of the year, he played against both righties and lefties. And even if it is predominantly against righties, you know, he's strong side on that. XBA is 258, so he's not going to kill your batting average. He barrels the ball 10.2% of the time. So you'll love to see that. And he has good speed, 70th percentile in speed. He's going to get you around 25 home runs, 8 to 10 stolen bases, bat 250. And as we slowly go down this list of outfielders, we start to see plate appearances dwindle away. Mm-hmm. And so he's one of those guys I don't have to worry about. I think they're going to play him as much as possible.
Where do you think he hits in the lineup? He's hitting third. So you think he hits in the top third of the lineup at this point?
Yeah, he did last year. I think he will this year as well. He's projected. I can pull that up.
Love that. I didn't even think about that, Marty, because I feel like he's getting taxed because he is a Tiger and that's not sexy. Those plate appearances.
Yeah, they got fourth. They got him. So it's going to be Parker, Meadows, Riley Green, Spencer Torkelson, and Kerry Carpenter. I mean, those are three good guys in front of him, too.
And you said Torkelson hitting in front of him?
Yeah, Torkelson third. He'll be hitting probably fourth.
Okay. I mean, right last year, a 278 batting average with a 346 WOBA, 25.1% K rate, which is very manageable, especially if you're going to hit 20 plus home runs as he did in 118 games. So, you know, that's roughly about a 25 homer pace. So there's a lot to like here, 6 steals as well. So maybe at best case scenario, maybe he could give you 10 stolen bases there. So a 25-10 stolen base player is somebody here going, you know, right now with ADP 51st outfielder off the board, around 216 ADP. I think that's a solid call there, Marty. Little cheesecake. Who do you like here in this range?
I like a couple guys in this range. One person I want to talk about to start is Brian De La Cruz. I think he's a very unsexy name. He actually did get the good plate appearances last season, and he came back with a very solid batting average, and he has a good expected batting average year over year with decent power, not plus power, actually, you know, about average power, but the batting average is solid and the plate appearances are there. So if you're looking for someone who's going to not put you behind on power and provide you with plus batting average at this draft position, I had De La Cruz about 265. What do we have? What do you have him at? I think he's a solid bet there. As you can see, he's had over 500 plate appearances each of the last two seasons. I think he's going to continue that with the Marlins, and they need his production. Good batting average, solid pop in the bat, just a good sort of solidifier. If you took some chances earlier, I think he's a solid player at the end of your draft.
He's one of those guys at the end of the year, his stats looked really good, but I remember him distinctly being one of those guys that you picked up on the waiver wire. He was like the top waiver wire pickup of the week. He'd go through a really cold stretch. He'd be back on the waiver wire, not playing every day. And then, you know, he'd be a hot hitter again. And at the end of the day, he accumulated 626 plate appearances. So a team that needs hitters, he's going to play. I guess, LC, you're prepared to kind of ride the hot and cold streaks that are going to run with someone like Brian De La Cruz.
I think you have to when you think that, you know, each of the last two seasons, I've thought he was a good hitter for the past few seasons. He had I think in 2021, he got injured and that sort of slowed his development. But I've looked at him to break out for the past few seasons. And I think there's a good sign. Like, he's not a sexy player. He's not someone who, like, if you went safe early, I wouldn't go with De La Cruz. I'd be going for more higher upside guys in this range. But he's a good safe pick and one of the guys who I've gone to in this range.
He's been strangely consistent each of the last two seasons. Granted, different games played. He played about 40 more games, 38 more games this past season than 2022, but four stolen bases each of the last 2 years. He hit 13 homers and then 19, but again, that's about the same pace both seasons. A 252 and 257 batting average. The OBP is roughly the same. Slug is roughly the same. His K rate did drop a little bit, but walk rate stayed about the same. BABIP was 3 points off. Like, this is somebody that seems to have settled in as roughly maybe like a 250-ish batting average with, you know, about 20 home runs. You know, maybe
his expected
under.
Batting averages also have been like 280 and 270 in the past two seasons. So I think there is some upward possibility in the batting average, like a 270, 280 hitter possibly in there with that. So that's another thing to consider. I know that it's not the best park to hit in where he hits, but his XBAs have been higher than he's produced the last few years.
One of the things that he will need to get better at is Z contact. Each of the last 2 years has been under major league average. So Z contact, meaning balls in the strike zone that he's hitting. He's hitting it at the under major league average clip right now. So that is something that I think you do look for, hopefully someone to progress with, because you want to be able to hit pitches when they're in the strike zone. Yeah, I think he's a good call here as well. Again, it's hard to not like players once they get to this ADP here. Before we get to you, Doc, I'm curious on your guys' thoughts, because someone I really liked in this range is Jung Ho Lee of the San Francisco Giants, someone they just signed to, I believe, a six-year contract, and he's expected to be the leadoff guy for San Francisco, a guy that San Francisco has one of the worst offenses in baseball and has each of the last few seasons, but he makes a ton of contact. He'll steal some bases. He, to me, is kind of one of those guys you could have as a batting average, you know, help here. Someone that will give you steals. I don't think he's going to give you power. I think, especially in that park, you're going to be lucky if he gives you 10 home runs this year. But he's somebody that's kind of like a less sexy Luis Arraez, but you're also getting him a little cheaper. And I think there is more potential for him to provide a little bit more offensively, as Arraez doesn't give you any steals, really. Do you guys like Jung Ho Lee here?
I mean, Bad X really likes Jung Ho Lee. That's what I know. They think he's going to hit about 285 this season.
Mm-hmm.
With they have him at 11 home runs and I think 8 stolen bases, which isn't terrible.
I like the fact that they signed him to a 6-year deal. They're not going to have him platoon or play part time unless he's doing really awful.
And they don't have a lot of great hitting prospects or guys that are going to take his bat out of the lineup consistently. I think they'll give him the chance to play almost every day. Again, hit the top of the lineup, so he should be able to give you runs. Batting average, you would expect to be a plus batting average. Yeah. And I do think that they're undervaluing his steals. I think he has double-digit steals potential there as well. So I think he could be a solid 3-category contributor, which in this range of the draft, you know, those could be areas that you could be looking for. I think he's going to be someone that the casual average fantasy baseball fan isn't familiar with. And if you're in a roto league especially, this is somebody that can help you, and you can kind of plan for that later on if you, you know, miss out on guys that, you know, you have power, but you haven't secured as much batting average, or you haven't secured as much speed or runs. This could be somebody that could help that.
The way I look at him, he's Jeff McNeil, but in the outfield.
Yep.
Although, let me see, where's McNeil? Where's he going? Because he has outfield eligibility.
He's
too,
later.
Right?
He's actually even later, I believe. He's.
Well, did you see the report? Did you see the report? Did you see the report that came out today that he has a tearing in his UCL, but it's or his ulnar nerve, but it's normal?
Jeff McNeil does.
Jeff McNeil does.
Well, yeah.
No,
I didn't see that, but that probably wipes him off my draft board.
He missed the last week of the season and then had an off-season procedure. And they're like, yeah, it's tearing, but like it's day to day.
Yeah, well, I'll take Jung Ho Lee then.
You know, MLB injury news this time of year, I'm on top of it.
That is true. Staying with you, Doc, who are you looking at?
So I really like where you can get Starling Marte this year. I think you're getting him at a discount from last year because of the groin and core injury that caused him to play 86 games, but he still had 24 stolen bases. And it's not like he's missed huge parts of time over the last couple of seasons, 118 games, 120. He played 61 in the COVID 2020 season, 132 the year before that. He's had 2 stolen bases in 11 winter league games so far. He looks healthy. 2 seasons ago, when he was 32 years old, he had 47 stolen bases. And that's not 47 of last year. That's an impressive 47 that he got. Six out of the projection seven ones on Fangraphs have him getting at least 25 stolen bases. The 248 batting average last year was the lowest of his career, but he had an expected batting average of 263. He's a 287 career hitter. And the Mets are paying him $20.75 million. I think barring him getting hurt, he's going to be playing every day, and he can be a really, really great source of speed, decent batting average, and you know maybe some runs. Probably won't give you a lot of power or RBIs.
Doc, I have a question for you. If Starling Marte does not give you stolen bases this year, and granted, I mean, he is getting up there in age. He is 35 years old. If he does not give you speed, is there any value for him this year outside of stolen bases?
Well, let me ask you, when you say he doesn't get stolen bases, like how many do you think?
So first of all, obviously injuries are a big factor with him because injuries have been a problem for him each of the last, basically since he's been a Met, it's gotten even worse. You know, if you look, the most games he's played in his career is 145. The most games he's played in the last four seasons is 120. But I'm curious because 47 steals in 2021, 18 steals in 2022 in 118 games, 24 steals in 86 games last year. Again, I'm wondering when you, I think when it falls off pretty quickly. So, you know, does he fall off from last year? What was like a 40 steal pace? Does he fall off to that and give you 15 steals? Is that to like worth it?
I think if he plays 115 games, which look, the most he's played is 145, but we'll say 115. I think he gives you 30 stolen bases. I think if he plays that because of the base path rules and because of how successful he's been in his career, I need to see it go away first before I'm willing to bake that in. Because when he's been healthy, there hasn't been a reason why he hasn't had it. But I think batting average he helps.
Yeah.
But definitely. In terms of the power, no. But depending on where he hits in the lineup, he could give you runs.
The batting average too. He's like you, like Jung-Hoo Lee, who you were just talking about. Like I would project them similarly for batting average. Marte is 287 career, and with Marte, you have the potential for 30 steals.
David, I want you to look at the outfielders in that range and let me know of anybody that has 25. We'll even say 20 stolen base upside.
I mean, in this range, Carpenter's not going to give it to you. Gurriel's not going to give it to you. Taylor Ward's not going to give you 25 steals. I don't think Rendifo gets that many, if I remember correctly.
12 to 15, maybe.
Nine last year.
Yeah. I mean, that your point is valid in the sense that stolen bases are probably the best chance with him, but are you basically just selling out that he's a stolen base guy?
If you don't get steals early and you're punting that category, I think this is the type of player that you want to target.
Because, again, keep in mind, too, that he did hit under 250 last year. So, again,
was it 287? He's a 287 career hitter.
But
factor in that before.
Career, probably, but like his most recent year, he was 246.
You know, Art says I'm the ageist. I think you're the ageist.
Starling Marte is just probably not on my draft board. The only way I probably take him is if he's closer to his max ADP, which is around 264 right now. I think to me, like the injuries, the fact that he's 35 years old, again, like I think just it's starting to fall off for him. And I think the Mets also are in a year where they're not going to be competitive or not expecting to be contenders. So he's a 35-year-old guy that's going to be taking at bats away from some of their younger players. So maybe he doesn't play as much.
They're paying him over $20 million a year. Why would they not pay him? Or why would they not play him?
Because if they want, is he on the last year of his deal?
Yes, he is on the last year.
Okay, so there's not
the incentive. Either, or they could trade him to a team where he's going to have more value in the second half. He's in a better lineup.
I think if he doesn't give you stolen bases, he's going to be absolutely worthless. And he only is going to give you stolen bases if he stays healthy.
Once again, let me ask you, if he plays 115 games, how many stolen bases does he get?
I'll say if he plays 115 games.
He's played 115 games at least eight times in his career.
I don't think he's playing 115 games, but if he does, I'd say he probably gives you 25 steals.
I want to chime in. Number one, and I don't know if this even matters, but the general manager said he looked healthy in the Dominican League or whichever winter league he was doing. So As of right now, he's healthy. We'll see how that goes. And I think Art and I have both got him in drafts where he's kind of our last swing for 20 stolen bases. Like I don't think anybody like really, really wants to draft him. But as you're going down and you're seeing outfield, which gets depleted very quickly, especially in that 250 range, I think he's the last guy that maybe can hit 270, get you 12 home runs, 25 stolen bases, maybe north of that. It's kind of a hope and a prayer, but where he's at, I think that's worth the worth the take there.
And for the record, I was completely out on Marte last year. I just like the price of that this year, the upside that he can bring for somebody that's ADB is 226.
Well, I think you're right when you say there's not really anyone after him that can get you 20 stolen bases. I think just in general across all positions at that point, I'm not sure.
You're taking him in the 15th round.
Well, let's move on.
It doesn't sound as good when you say it that way.
Let's move on. I do think if you need stolen bases, it's not bad to grab him here. I just think he's not good. You can't really, I personally don't think you can count on him for anything at this
point. Yeah, I wouldn't feel good about it, but I would do it.
But yeah, if you need steals, I don't think it's a bad call to take him there. I just wouldn't expect the moon from him this year, the moon and the stars. So
you know what, David? We're going to replay this in like 6 months.
That's fine.
For better or for worse.
There's a bunch of those players. And I said if he plays 115 games, he'll give you 25 plus steals, I think. But that's the big if there. Chris Bryant, wanted to bring him up in this range. I don't know if one of you guys also had him written down here too. Coming off a year of a .233 batting average, only 10 home runs and 300 AB, so about half a season's worth of at-bats. Is Chris Bryant done? Or was he just so hurt each of the last pretty much 2 years that we're going to see old vintage Chris Bryant?
I think his body's breaking down on him. He's an old 32. And playing in cores, we saw with CJ Cron last year, for veterans, it takes a lot out of you. So I wouldn't say he's guaranteed to play every day. You look at the last 2 years, 80 and 42 games.
There's actually been some studies done about the recovery time. You recover better as a baseball player. Injuries are harder to recover from in Colorado playing in there. So that's one factor that I think about. But I do think Chris Bryant, I've taken him in one draft, but it's only based on the fact that I think he still has one more good season left in him. And that's not real analysis, but I don't think he's done. He's only 32. I think he has one more good season left in him.
Especially with him being in Colorado. I mean, that's the best place for him to be. So even if you just played him, you know, on his home stands, you'd look fine. And last year, what he hurt his heel and then he fractured his finger. So a fractured finger, that's pretty fluky. You know, it's not like a soft tissue thing. So where he's going, I think there's only upside there. And if not, you can just cut him.
I agree. I mean, there's good and bad in his profile. Obviously, 122 games over his last 2 years is not going to get it done. But when you look just at his numbers across the board, he's got a above average Z contact. So he's still seeing the ball well in the strike zone. An above average K rate, striking out 20.3% last year and even better 15% the year before that. Walk rate is above average. Home run to fly ball rate is not great. His BABIP shows there could be potentially some room for improvement for last season. But 15 combined home runs between the last 2 years, 0 stolen bases combined over the last 2 years. His barrel percentage is both been sub 7%. Each of the last 2 years, he's just frankly, his home run to fly ball rate is 2 years ago, not even 10%, last year, 11%. He is not putting the ball in the air. He's not slugging the ball, slugging percentage sub 400 last year. He just doesn't look like he has any power at his bat. That's the part that's interesting to me. And, you know, .233 batting average last year, granted he had .306 in 42 games the year before that. I'm worried this guy becomes a zero category contributor because no power, no speed. Obviously, RBI is not great. He's not hitting atop the lineup for runs. Like this, like Marty said, I mean, you can cut him, but to me, there's not something in his profile that shows me like, man, he can give you this. I don't know if you guys feel differently.
David, for as much as we disagreed earlier, I completely agree with you now. It is interesting. They said he's going to be the regular everyday first baseman. So
really?
Yeah.
So on outfield, first base.
I think that's the only thing that you could add
as something
with a little bit of value. Like if they have a series or, you know, six games at Coors that week, you mm-hmm. could plug him in like a corner outfielder. He'd be your fifth outfielder.
Yeah, I mean, I think people will take him because he's an outfielder, and outfield is not great this year if you've looked just at kind of how the draft board is. And the name value, the fact that he's playing in Coors and people are like, he's healthy, maybe he'll be 70% of MVP Chris Bryant.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be a value here. So I can't sit here and say I won't draft him. I can sit here and tell you I'm not going to jump to go get him. I think he'd have to kind of fall in the right
makes
spot.
Sense. I'd say he hits probably around 25 home runs, bats around 275, which is useful.
If he's healthy, going. If he's healthy, that's what it'll do. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, I wouldn't take him if he was like my third outfielder.
Yeah.
I would go with someone with a little less injury risk.
I agree with you there. Right. I think there's one more player we'll talk about here, unless I'm missing somebody. Elsie, I know you wanted to touch on Taylor Ward, who was a popular breakout candidate last year mm-hmm. and very much looked like it for parts of the year, but underwhelmed with his final season-long numbers. Do you think there's another gear in his bat this year?
I mean, I don't have any trust in the Angels training staff to do anything well. It just seems like I have any particular knowledge about who their training staff is or how they do things or anything, but it seems like no one can stay healthy on the Angels mm-hmm. while they're playing there. I mean, there have been some issues with people putting baseball first recently. I'm talking about Anthony Rendon, but it seems like otherwise people just can't stay on the field, and Ward has been unable to stay on the field, but his batted ball quality has been good. When you look at his BADX projections, among all the people taken after pick 50, Ward has the best projections, 270, 21 home runs, about 70 runs in RBIs apiece. That's a solid starting everyday outfielder for you if you can get him. Mm-hmm. It's all about health with him. I asked you guys if you guys thought he might have a healthy season in him. I think the talent's there. I think the talent is there if he can stay healthy. Do you guys have any trust in his health?
As long as he stays away from an Alex Manoa fastball to his face, yep. he should be okay. God. But no, like that's why he was out for the rest of the season. He started off slow and he bounced back. He looked like the Taylor Ward kind of early 2022, but yeah, then getting hit in the face, that was absolutely brutal. But apparently he's healthy right now, and I think, yeah, if you're, like I've said it before, if you have a couple teams, I think you should take a flyer on him because he does have upside. Yeah.
I think I would take some drafts with him. I think he falls in like the range of like, oh, I need an outfielder. Taylor Ward is there. I'm comfortable kind of.
He'll
plugging
definitely
him
get
in.
The at bats. I just think the Angels lineup has the potential to be the worst in baseball if Mike Trout is out, which is
worse than the Oakland A's.
Yeah. Yeah, you could say the A's have Brent Rooker, Zach Geloff. Like, you can't look at anybody on the Angels if Mike Trout is out. That's potentially worst offense in MLB.
Angels are a mess.
Shawnwell is upset with you, Doc, for saying that.
Does anybody get
They don't even have guys that want to hit every day. That's an Anthony Rendon dig. Two of the four of us have said it now.
Before we move on to the next range, because I want to get to the next range, do you guys factor in your drafting if a team plays for an organization that poorly develops hitting, like how Royals poorly have been developing pitching for the most part, and why we kind of are a little hesitant to take Kansas City Royal pitchers, even if we feel like there's a breakout potential coming, how like the Washington Nationals and the Los Angeles Angels, organizations like that haven't really seemed to develop hitters. Does that factor in terms of just you being a little bit hesitant on drafting players from these lineups?
I think Pittsburgh, Henry Davis in this range is someone who I'm hesitant on, partially because Pittsburgh doesn't develop hitting very well. So I definitely factor that in.
And Henry Davis is also, people were, I think, looking at him because he was going to gain catcher eligibility. And now he's not necessarily going to play catcher every day. Was it, I forgot, they signed, was it Gary Sanchez? No, Gary Sanchez was in Milwaukee. Who did they just sign to, they signed another veteran catcher. I should have remembered at the top of my head. It was
Yasmani Grandal.
Thank you.
Right.
It was Yasmani Grandal. Yeah. So, yeah. He's going to take away
when I said he liked him.
He's going to take away catching up. Like, people were excited to draft him because they were like, I can just plug him in at catcher within the first week of the season. And now it's not necessarily guaranteed as quickly here. But this range is a lot of interesting players. For the sake of time, though, let's start getting into the next range of guys. I did want to talk about Whit Merrifield, but we'll save him for another day.
We can talk about him briefly. There's not really a spot for him. They paid him only $8 million. He'll maybe have 400 plate appearances, maybe get you 15 stolen bases, 8 home runs, and I think the batting average is pretty much gone. He's not a full-time player, and if everything goes right in Philly, he won't be.
Is there any part of you, though? I feel like we always have this discussion every year where it's like, whether it's a pitcher or a hitter, it's like, well, I don't really see like a path to playing time, and then someone gets hurt, and then they end up playing every day.
I'm going to take some shares of Whit Merrifield, multi-eligible at this point, outfield, second base. An injury away, and he is playing every day.
We saw last year in their infield, Rhys Hoskins was out for the year, and then they had to kind of shuffle around some players. Like, who's to say someone doesn't have a long-term injury in their infield or their outfield, and he steps in and gets everyday bats?
I don't have his defensive numbers in front of me in the outfield, but as we all know, the Phillies' outfield has been, you know, one of the worst ones with Castellanos and the Schwarber and Marsh and whomever, you know, they put in there. So it's possible he gets a couple more at bats as a defensive replacement at the back end of some games, maybe leading to like another 30 plate appearances. But yeah, they're one injury away. Now, is everybody else in this area? Are they one injury away? Or are they already starting? So I don't want to. So part of my strategy is to not get players that something needs to happen for them to get playing time. When Parker Meadows, for instance, he'll be starting, you know, leadoff guy, 15 home runs, 15 stolen bases, more upside.
He does give you a lot more steals potentially than some of the players in this range.
That's true.
So that's the appeal there, I guess, for some. Let's go to the next range, which is going to be the 66 through 81 range. And I'm going to go to you first, LC. Who is the player in this range that you think you'll want to draft a lot of?
MJ Melendez is a guy who I think we need to be looking back at. Just a few seasons ago, he was a big power prospect as a catcher coming up, and that power still in his bat. Still good walk rate. His hard hit rate was high. His barrel rate is high. It's funny, if you look at his, go to StatCast and you look at his home runs per stadium, there were stadiums where he hit 25 home runs. There were stadiums where he hit 30. That was Cincinnati, of course. But he's really hurt by that ballpark, but he still has that big boy power. So the batting average is going to be about 230s batting average. He's going to be hitting high in that Kansas City lineup, I believe. I think he's got a chance to have a mini little breakout here. He's not old. You know, he's 25 years old. He's still young enough and still developing. I really think he's shown himself well. And I think he's got a chance to have a really good season here.
Does anybody else like MJ Melendez?
Give him back catcher eligibility.
He's not playing any catcher this year.
Not happening anymore, no.
All right. What about Willie Castro, guys? Willie Castro with the quietest 33 stolen bases last year, maybe in the history of baseball.
I had him on my GLAR team, and I have him in one Gladiator. Art's in that one. I need those stolen bases pretty bad in that. We'll see.
He's multi-position eligible, third base, corner infield, and outfield. And he's somebody that got 358 at-bats last year. I think he'll actually get more this year. There's a lot of volatility in the Twins lineup. Talk about a few guys, or one guy I like later on as well. But he can play. You know, he'll hit you 250, give you 20-plus stolen bases. Maybe, you know, you're lucky. Maybe if he gets the double-digit home runs, I don't think he'll play enough to give you, like, 15 home runs. But this is a very useful player. We talked about Starling Marte in steals. like, why not take to me someone that might even be potentially safer here at a lower ADP in Willie Castro?
The ceiling of batting average isn't as high, so that would be the only thing. But other than that, I completely agree. Castro could be a Marte if you're not worried about batting average.
Now, my
Willie Castro had 33 stolen bases last year, and he had 18 in the previous 4 years and close to 300 games before that. Which one do you think is the real Willie Castro?
Well, granted, what were his at-bats in those years?
Okay, well, the rules. The rules have there's no reason to compare any other year to 2023. Everything's different.
Correct.
I'm going to count how many plate appearances he had over those 4 years.
Who's also like, on the Tigers who didn't they didn't run. They were bottom five and running for every year he was on there. But I hear you.
I mean, Marty makes two great points. Organization philosophies of teams that don't run as much. Also, stolen bases went up in a major way last year because of the new rules.
40%.
So you have to base it off. You can't look at other years and be like, well, he did this last year. Ronald Acuna stole 70 bases last year. Like, it's a whole new landscape.
Ronald Acuna had a 37 steal season prior. I'm just saying he had 18 steals and 1,092 plate appearances versus 33 and 409 last year. I definitely think there's somewhere in the middle, but I wouldn't say he has 30 stolen base upside each year.
I think if the at-bats are there, which
David,
right now
David, friendly bet, who gets more, him or Marte?
I mean, obviously right now there's a lot of factors. Games played, Marte's starting, Castro's not starting. I think if they play the same amount of games, I'll bet you Castro steals more bases.
All right. Well, we'll do a handshake over the computer.
All right.
We'll break it down to stolen base ratio.
I will say this about stolen bases, and I didn't do this research. Bloom did for the the baseball forecaster. The rule of thumb is if you didn't run before, you probably didn't run. The rule changes didn't do anything. But if you're one of those runners that's like 10 to 20 stolen bases, they almost like went time and a half bigger. So in other words, like anyone who gets like less than five steals, it didn't change anything. Anyone who got those like 18, 20 steals, it boosted them up to the 30s and 40s. So the faster you are, the more you're going to run.
I'm going to pull up their sprint speeds as well. As we move to the next one, which Doc, I'll let you talk about who is in this range that you think you want to draft.
The hometown guy, Austin Hayes. Won his arbitration case. How often do you say that about players? Corbin Burns can say that. So he's getting paid $6.3 million instead of $5.85 million, which is kind of weird that they argued about that much. But the last 3 years when he's been full-time, and I say that, playing at least 130 games. So he's played 131, 145, and 144. He's had at least a .250 batting average, at least 15 home runs, and at least 125 runs plus RBIs. And he's probably playing in the best lineup he's been since he's been on the team. Roster Resource has him hitting fifth right now. And I'm not saying he's going to give you a lot of stolen bases, but last year he had five, which was the highest of his career. Also the highest stolen base percentage success at 83%. He's been below 50% two out of those 5 years. So I like the fact that last year was his career high. Maybe he gets a little bit more aggressive, flirts with like eight or nine, but I think he's position for an everyday role.
Just while I have this up here, Starling Marte was in the 42nd percentile in sprint speed last year. 42nd.
He was
42nd percentile.
Yeah, he had a
Willie Castro was in the 82nd percentile.
Starling Marte had a groin injury.
I will say this. So Willie Castro is slated to play against righties and lefties at the bottom of the lineup, but still. He's their utility guy. They need him. He's going to be all over the field.
Yep. Forrest says, do higher per at bat. Yeah, I think that's what we'll have to do. We'll do the per at bat stolen bases for that. I think it's the best way to do it.
And I can go quickly. Austin Hayes was my guy as well. Everything that Doc said, he's exactly right. There's nothing sexy about this pick, but at this point, I don't have to worry about playing time. He's hitting nearly 20 home runs in that ballpark. I mean, I'll take it. .275 average. It's all good.
Yeah, I think he's a solid player here as well.
And he's come out and said he wants to stay in Baltimore, that he hopes he gets an extension.
Is there another player that you guys feel strongly about in this range that you would like to bring up?
I have a few.
Go ahead, Elsie. Take it away.
Marty talked about Parker Meadows earlier. Mm-hmm. He's in this range, I think. I'm not sure if I worked off the same range as you guys. But Parker Meadows is going to lead off for the Tigers. That's beautiful. I like Brent Rooker and Alec Thomas as well. You guys got no love?
Not for Alec Thomas. I do like Brent Rooker.
Well, I have Alec Thomas in the 81 plus because he's my guy as well.
Oh, well, let's save him then for a minute.
Okay.
Yeah. But you also brought up Brent Rooker.
Yeah.
I mean, are you worried? I mean, obviously he came out to start the year, finished the year with 30 home runs. He looked like he was going That's to crazy. Be one of the best pickups of the year. And then he really faltered down the stretch.
He didn't falter the whole way. Like he came back.
Mm-hmm.
He came back. He had like a really big lull and then he came back. So he was one of those guys where you got his good stuff and then dropped him and brought him back because he did get that bad. But his xBA on the season was nearly 240. So he earned the decent batting average. And it seems to me he's got that real power. He has like a 115 max EV. He's going to be hitting home runs, and Oakland needs him to play. So the batting average is not going to be terrible, I don't think. 230, 240 with 30 home runs. Maybe he's someone who you do have to eat some of those slow weeks, and you might be like hoping that you can have someone to sub him out for. But I think he's got that real power. I like him where he's going. Not a lot of guys with 30 home run power at that range.
No, that's true. And what I was going to say, looking at him, I mean, the pre-All-Star and post-All-Star, he had 16 home runs pre-All-Star game. He had 14 home runs post-All-Star game, and he batted 246 in both halves of the season. So he was pretty much consistent. It's the problem is he strikes out so much that there's going to just be natural dips in his performance because, what is it? It's 32.7%, which is in the fourth percentile. So it's a, you know, true. I don't think what's his walk percentage? Does he walk? Walks at 9.3% of the time. So his OBP was, what was it? 329. Okay. So yeah. So I think he hits the ball hard enough to sustain a solid batting average, 240 around there. But there's going to be ups and downs because of the K rate.
I feel like at this range, we've talked about guys that either are just going to get plate appearances or can help you tremendously in one category.
Well, Doc, I'm really glad you brought that up because the last player I think I want to bring up here is Matt Wallner of the Twins as well. 249 last year. This is someone that I think is going to help you big time in the home run category. He is going to be one of their everyday players right now as it projects. But just some interesting things about Matt Wallner. So he was going around pick 400 2 months ago. He's now going closer to pick 300 now. I know he's been talked about on a bunch of different places in the fantasy baseball space. 249, 370, 507 triple slash last year. 11 doubles, 14 home runs. But I think there's signs that he can unlock more power. He had a 517 expected slug last year. And one of the players he's compared to a lot is Joey Gallo. That was higher than any Joey Gallo season since 2019. Miguel Sano had two seasons with an expected slug above 500. We know how many home runs Miguel Sano could hit. And he showed power to all fields. He wasn't just a pull hitter. So the fact that he was hitting his balls all across the outfield shows me that he wasn't just relying on just pulling balls in. The 31.5% K rate needs to improve. There's no doubt about that. I do think when he gets more at bats this year, that will definitely help. But he had an 11% walk rate too. So I think he's a very intriguing player. I think there's another level here to unlock, and you're getting him past pick 300. He's going to be someone I have a lot of in my drafts.
The only thing I'll add is that he batted 116 versus lefties. So as of right now, he's a strong side platoon. They can't have him go against lefties at this point. He crushes righties. But yeah, 119 average, 5 hits and 46 plate appearances. So we'll see if he can improve on lefties. As of now, he's just a strong side platoon bat. But that's still going to get you 500, 450 plate appearances, if not more.
Right, and I'm sure they'll give him the opportunity against lefties to at least start the year to see if obviously he's improved. But that's a good point, Marty. 450 to 500 plate appearances after pick 300, I'll definitely take that. All right, then let's go to the last range here. We'll look at 80 and up here with the obviously you can bring up somebody that's going at any range here. You can go talk about the 80s, 90s, after 100. Let's just fire off a couple guys each of us like here. LC, I'm going to start with you. Give us a couple of guys you want to draft.
Garrett Mitchell. Injured to begin the season last year. Didn't get a chance to show his stuff. Guy with 70 speed, 55 raw power. I think he's got a good chance to get all the playing time he can handle in Milwaukee this season. So I like him. I think he's going to do well.
Who else are you looking at here? Is there anybody else?
I like
you did bring up Alec Thomas, so let me go back to Alec Thomas here, and Marty, you can jump in as well.
Yeah.
He's going to play most of the time, strong side platoon. He can't hit lefties, same song and dance. So we'll see if that can improve. But I don't know if there's too many other guys that can probably get you around 12 homers, 12 stolen bases, maybe 15 in both if everything goes well, or 12 home runs and 15, 18 stolen bases. I think he's going to play 75% of the time. He's a good glove out there, and the XBA is 250. So what he does do, he doesn't hurt you, and that's what you're going to. The more we get down here, there are players that just hurt you in almost every category, other than the one they don't completely kill you in. So he's just solid all throughout.
Let me do. I had to ask you this, Marty. So you have Jock Peterson. They did sign. He right now is slotted to play DH. He can play outfield. You also have Randall Grichuk, who they just signed, who also can play outfield. He's right now
going to be hit versus righties.
Yeah, he'll be a platoon player. Is there any concern to you that he's projected to hit seventh in the lineup? I have no idea why they have Gurriel hitting eighth. That is wild to me. Is any part of you concerned? I mean, he was someone that was one of the top prospects in baseball at one point. He just seems like overmatched. He seems like more of a quad A player. The playoffs, he looked good last year. He was hitting some home runs, but for the most part of his career, he seemed like a quad A player. Do you think that there's going to be a long enough leash with him to where you feel comfortable?
Because of his glove, yes. And because he does do fairly well versus righties. I mean, and he's only 23 years old, so he's kind of like, he's kind of just at the back of that lineup. And Randall Grichuk won't be taking him out of there. That's for sure. Cause he can't hit, he can't hit righties. Jock will play, but he'll DH most of the time. And I can't see Jace Peterson's not going to take his spot as far as they need to bring in another glove. Like, his defense is the reason why he's going to play so much.
Mm-hmm. Or anything you wanted to add to that as well?
No, I just drafted Alec Thomas. I just drafted him with Wallner, Garrett Mitchell, and I just drafted these guys all in DARF. I went late on outfielder, and I also got Jesus Sanchez, another guy I wanted to talk about. He's going to have platoon splits as well. They're not going to play him versus lefties, but Sanchez hits the crap out of the ball against righties. He hits the ball hard. I like him a lot. Hopefully he can start to improve against lefties and soak up some more plate appearances, but he's going to hit the ball hard against righties. And, if you get a couple of these guys, you might be able to mix and match one outfield spot with a couple of platoon bats.
All right, Marty, anybody else that you would like to bring up from this range or past pick 100?
I was going to say for Art's draft, he's going to be like the Tampa Bay Rays. He's going to be platooning everybody. I like that. That's a good approach.
Before you go, Marty, really quick, any thoughts on Sal Frelick being moved up to second, or being moved to second could be a massive steal? He's always called the discount Stephen Kwan, that everybody compares him to Stephen Kwan. So a good batting average guy here. I like Sal Frelick. I think he's a solid addition here. But
go ahead.
I think he was referring to Garrett Mitchell's position on the Brewers as a starting outfielder, with Frelick moving second base. And Terang's going to be hurt by that move, I think. Yeah.
And McCarthy is actually the guy that I like.
Uh-oh, then Well, let's tie it to you real quick then so we can connect the dots here. Jake McCarthy, Vinny thinks we'll get Grichuk out of the job here. And you like Jake McCarthy.
I think Jake McCarthy will be on the move. Like, I don't think there's a clear spot for him to play every day, but I don't think he's a AAA player. Last year, 360, 9 home runs, 78 runs plus RBIs, and 15 steals in 45 games. The year before that, 369, 5 homers, 60 runs plus RBIs, and 11 stolen bases in 36 games. That's somebody that doesn't deserve to be in AAA. So I do think some team will recognize that, as Marty did, and you did mention with Alec Thomas, it's a crowded bench, crowded outfield for Arizona. He walked at an 8.3% rate last year, less than 20% K rate. He's in the 98th percentile of speed, 26 steals in 99 games last year. And I'll just say, like, if something does happen to Corbin Carroll with his shoulder, then maybe that's something. But to Vinny's point, I think they trade him. So I think he's going to have a clear path to everyday playing time.
Could be a great value with that. Marty, back to you.
Willy Abreu, that's the guy I'm going to be. I took at the back of my Glarf draft just for pure upside alone. He had an XBA of 268, barreling the ball almost 10% of the time, walks at a 10% clip, strikes out 27% of the time, which you don't love to see that, but he's only 24 years old. He's getting his first viewing of big league pitching. He's going to be a strong side platoon against righties. And I think if he plays the whole year, I mean, I'm very interested to see where that power can go. You know, I think he has 25, 30 home runs in him, you know, in a full season of at bats, and where he's going right there, that'd be a pretty big steal.
I agree. He's a tank, 5'8", 215. That's big for
he's a fire hydrant.
He is. Here's one for you guys. How about
you got Andrew Benintendi pulled up? You're going to talk about Benintendi.
Him? Nah, I think we're done with Benintendi. Here's someone that's going ADP 635, Joey Weimer of the Milwaukee Brewers, who I'll be honest, he was probably not somebody I was on my radar, but if you paid attention on X over the last few days, there have been a couple people talking about how he has a noticeable swing change. He basically, it's a little bit quieter swing change. It's a new setup that he was working on this off season, kind of holding it a little bit more out in front of him and not as much back with as much bat movement. But everybody's talking about it, and they said that he pretty much looks like a different player in terms of his setup and simplifying his swing. And that could help with someone that with a 32% K rate, not swinging to as many bad pitches. When you see something like that, I feel like that to me gives me enough of a reason to where I'm going to have him now on my radar.
Remember, he was somebody I talked up in like really late for DC 50s. He had 31 stolen bases in 2022. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, talk about the speed upside. 13 homers last year. Good little power speed combo.
And I'm saying, I mean,
is he on the team?
I mean, he might have to make it out of spring training, but
that's the only thing. I don't see where there's it's the Brewers outfield. That's not very good, but I just don't know
he's a really good defensive player, which helps his case too.
Vinny, you're here for a reason, buddy. Tell me, well, Joey Weimer, is he breaking camp with the team? Yes or no?
I mean, maybe if he called him Brewers McCarthy, again, you're getting it at pick 635 right now. So
yeah, I guess that would be the only like a DC 50, right? Just like maybe he'll play.
Yep. I think he's somebody, I think with the videos that have been coming out, that might go up a little bit in ADP, not crazy. But I think he'll go up. The other player I'll bring up, unless you guys have somebody else that you would like to talk about, was somebody that just got signed by the Washington Nationals this year, and somebody that we've had hope for, and he's never fully delivered. That's Nick Senzel going after pick 500.
I thought
he's going to be their starting. He's going to be their starting third baseman. So, I mean, when he plays, he's talented. But the question is his health. But you're also getting him for free. Are any of you guys going to take a flyer on Nick Senzel?
Late in the draft and hold. He's a decent option. Does he have outfield eligibility right now?
He does on NFBC. He does, yes.
So third base outfield is really nice depth positioning wise for third base, corner, and outfield on a DC. I think that's really valuable. I mean, I don't trust his health at all. I don't trust it at all. But hopefully if he stays healthy for a whole season, he put together a pretty good year.
All right. Well, any other players you guys would like to bring up as we conclude our outfield preview?
I mean, go up the list a little bit. Duvall, if you need power. Haniger. I mean, I guess Haniger is interesting because mm-hmm. he should be starting. If his oblique's fine, and mm-hmm. he's been oddly comfortable in Seattle. You know, I forgot who, like, when he left Seattle to go to whatever, when he went to San Francisco, so one of the Seattle Mariners moved into his house and he just paid him rent. Like, I don't, that's nothing to do with fantasy. I just thought that was kind of cool.
That's hilarious.
I do know that.
I don't know. I heard it on, I don't know. I spend way too much time looking up stuff that doesn't matter. Andrew Benintendi runs and stolen bases and an average that won't kill you in a DC 50, that's going to be valuable mm-hmm. at some point. And maybe, are we going to ever believe in Harrison Bader?
Nope.
To stay healthy, 15 home runs. 15
Master Bader bases. Can stay away from me.
you're practicing celibacy. Yes.
Right.
I have an are we ever going to believe in Alex Kirilloff question.
Yeah. Nope. I have notes on it somewhere. I have to look it up. But he had like a surgery that's like never been done on his wrist.
That sucks.
That you never want to hear that. Never been done before surgery.
I don't want to misquote it because I did actually like research it. So as I'm going to pull this up here, my notes on this, Vinny asks, are you guys buying a Jared Kelnick bounce back?
I like Kelnick. I
think that he might have an everyday role.
He could be a platoon player.
Man, I don't have him anywhere, and I haven't really given him too much thought. No, I'm not saying that's the right thing.
If there's anywhere he's bouncing back, it's Atlanta.
Let me ask you, why do you say that?
Because a good hitting lineup, a refresh on an organization, you can't pitch around him. I'd say slightly better park.
I think it comes down to
definitely better park.
One of the best. And to your point, what we were talking about earlier, talking about developing hitting, I think the Braves have done a really good job with that. So
he's right out of the 50th outfielder. So
I want to see his contract too. I feel like he's playing for a contract.
And who are they going to platoon him with?
He looks like he's going to be playing left field no matter what, whether it's
Who's
a righty or lefty.
Platoon?
He's
Travis
pre-arbitration.
Ozuna, maybe.
The thing is, he's still struggling to hit anything besides fastballs. Like that has not changed. Yeah. So, who's to say again? They're not going to know that when they pitched it. Like,
they might hit him at the bottom. I'm going to say it. Forrest Walls there. He's another lefty outfielder. That's the only people right now currently on like what would be the active roster unless they make a change. So I underestimated the fact that it looks like he is going to play every day.
Jordan Luplow is a non-roster invitee, and Jordan Luplow is well known as a lefty masher. So he could be the one guy who could do it. Because he is known throughout his career as someone who is a short side platoon guy. But he is in camp with them right now.
That'd be interesting. I'm trying to pull up his numbers against fastballs and breaking balls.
Kelnick had good stretches last year, March and April, and 101 plate appearances, 308 average, 250 in May, hit 288 in the second half.
Yeah, I think he had all of his home runs in the first month of the season or something like that. I remember.
He
it was close.
10 home runs, 10 out of his 11 home runs came in March to May.
that's crazy.
That then he fell wild. Out.
Can you imagine live betting his under home run totals?
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, he needs to not strike out 31% of the time until did you find those numbers of him first fastballs?
I'm going to have conversation for another 2 seconds and I'll have it up. because this is important. So I want to make sure I have these numbers correct.
There's also a meme, you know, the great Kelnick scare of 2022.
So Jared Kelnick versus fastballs and breaking pitches last year. So David Mendelsohn, just come on, find it. Okay. So Jared Kelnick last year versus fastballs, a 292 batting average versus breaking balls, 221 average versus off-speed pitches, 218 average. His expecting batting average is a little bit better than his actual batting averages. 2022, he hit 190 versus fastballs, 0.57 against breaking balls, and 154 against off-speed. So he's still struggling against breaking balls, a 239 expected batting average. That is not great. A 385 slug, that is, which is a 379 X slug. A 296 expected WOBA. A whiff percentage of 42.8%. Just across the board, this is not good. and he's seeing, I would love to look at the amount of pitchers that saw breaking balls. Like if you can sort their at bats, who saw the most breaking ball percentage wise last year, he saw a 37%. Of the time breaking balls, 42% fastballs. That to me is purposeful. The fact that the breaking ball and fastball ratio is nearly identical. I'm thinking, why are they not going to do that? Why are they not going to continue to throw a bunch of breaking balls to him?
The only thing that I could possibly see is that because he is hitting at the back of that lineup, they're going to just go after the 7, 8, 9 hitter more. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's kind of arbitrary, but yeah, I don't see why you wouldn't do it. Plus, he might kick something and break his foot again. You never know.
That's right.
Oh, that's true.
I'm sure people might draft him, but
people are taking him, and I don't have any problem with it. I didn't know, admittedly, that he looks like he's gonna play every single day.
Right. I think you have to temper expectations. But I think we covered a lot of good players tonight. Our outfield preview, very thorough, in depth. And as we get ready to start attacking the pitching side of things with about a month-ish to go before the season starts. So we're kind of grinding away. Well, next pod will be right before March. So we're going to be right at the peak of fantasy baseball prowess here. So guys, great episode. Anything you would like to say on the way out the door?
Yes, DBR. looking forward to a Podapalooza with you three guys, and Doc, I wish you were there as well.
I'll be there in spirit. Yeah.
There we go.
Just raid the comments.
There you go. All I'm going to say is I can't wait to go over how our TGFBI is going next show.
Yeah, that's going to be exciting.
That'll be a fun show to start talking our draft. We'll have to leave part of a segment of a show for draft strategies. And we also should have a former major leaguer on the show, friend of the show, Denard Spann, who was on a couple of years ago. We are working out for something for hopefully this week or next week. We were kind of trying to iron out details, so expect that sometime soon. But until the next time,
jinxed it, David.
I couldn't jinx something that was already almost jinxed before. So for Marty, for Little Cheesecake, for Doc, I'm D Mendy. We're gonna make like a bread truck, and we're gonna haul these buns. Talk to you guys next week.